kind of interesting to watch the reaction of the kids when things like that are happening, and obviously the one young man at front kind of had the whoa. And I wonder if sometimes we, when we read about miracles that were just explained to us and others, whether we have lost that childlike faith to kind of go, whoa, that's so cool. And, you know, it's just something to keep in mind. I really appreciate people who are able to come up and teach the kids that way. And we should sort of take heed and pay attention to those types of messages as well. Not just for the little kids to go whoa, but for us to go whoa too. So I'll invite Michael up. He's going to lead us in congregational prayer.
Shall we go to God in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this Sunday morning to worship. We thank you for providing Essex CRC as a community where we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you. We pray for those on this morning who are feeling the effects of the weather. We thank you for bringing us all here safely this morning, and we pray for those that were not able to make it here due to the weather. We pray for those on this day who don't have a place to stay, where it's warm and away from the snow, and we pray this morning that they were able to find somewhere to get a nice warm meal and some fellowship and maybe to hear about you. We thank you for the things happening in the congregation right now. We think especially of the youth from Maranatha that are leaving on their mission trip this week. May you grant them safety as they travel, and may you grant them a good time of growing in faith, and also just allowing them to have an incredible experience sharing your love with those who are not as fortunate as us. We pray for Riley, as we heard this morning, Mr. Haverkamp gave an update on her. We pray for the continued recovery as she is being treated for severe migraines. We pray that you may bless the doctors in their diagnosis and allow them to treat Riley the best way possible that she may reach recovery. We pray for those also in this congregation who are recovering from recent ailments. We think of Mr. Durratt on the road to recovery from his heart attack. We pray that you may just bless him as he recovers, and you may just give him the strength that he needs to improve each day. We think also of Nick Kuiper Sr., who's fallen recently, and Pete as well. We pray that you may just allow them to continue to recover and just place your healing hand upon them. We pray for those on this day in this congregation that may not feel like they need to be here for whatever reason. Maybe they don't feel called, or they've lost the burning in their heart. We pray, Lord, that you may just bless those people this morning and allow them to feel the love of this congregation, and that they may feel called to return to worship and hear your word. We pray for those in this congregation who are dealing with ailments that may not be known to others. We don't always have everything out in public, Lord, but you know what's going on in each of our lives. And we pray that you may just give us all the measure of care that we need this week for whatever we are dealing with. We think of Pastor Visser coming February 17th with his family. We pray that he will come here and feel the warmth of Essex CRC, and that we may get a large number here to show support, and we pray that we just have a good visit with him. And we pray, whatever your will, Lord, be done. We know things are done on your time and to your accord, and we just pray that if it is your will for him to be our next pastor, that you may show us what your will is, and that things may be done. We just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you continue to give us. And we pray that you may continue to bless us further in this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
From a classical standpoint, just a quick note, Pastor Dirk Miedema is retiring, and they're having a service next Sunday, retirement service. And the reason that's maybe a little more close to my heart and the, my brothers and sisters in Dresden is that's where Pastor Miedema began his ministry in Dresden in the early 1960s, I believe it was, or late 1960s. So certainly keep Pastor Miedema and his wife Grace in your prayers as they go into retirement living and do do different things that that are placed on their heart by God. Our prayer of illumination and scripture reading, is someone leading that, or am I, oh, there's the gentleman right there.
This morning's reading comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. It can be found on page 1073 in most of the Bibles there. Before we go and read the word, let's pray to God. Heavenly Father, open up our hearts to your word this morning. Help us to understand and fully embrace the power of your scripture in our lives every day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you. Bit of a preamble to the message this morning, which is entitled, as you see on the screen or saw on the screen momentarily, Come Close, Get Dusty, and that title will become evident, the reason for it, in the next couple of moments. But our preamble is this is the season of Epiphany. Epiphany starts the first weekend in January and goes through until the Transfiguration of the Lord just before Lent, and it's really not given as much attention as maybe it once was, perhaps not given much attention the last little while in our churches at all, but this is the season of Epiphany, and it's kind of an unveiling of Christ's ministry on earth, including our passage this morning that was read and the calling of the first disciples. Children of the great king. Suppose you were given the opportunity to shadow someone you admired. You were given a specific period of time to follow that person around and get to know them a little bit and what they do and how they do it. Who would that person be? Well, I guess it would depend on your particular interests. Maybe if you were an actor, you might want to follow someone who is an actor, perhaps a music icon or a business tycoon, an educator, a scientist, a sports star, any number of people. These celebrities in their particular fields might invite you to their stage or their lab or their office. They'd introduce you around to some of their colleagues, show you what they do and how they do it, and when that allotted time was up, they'd send you on your way with your memories in tow. But by contrast, the invitation of Jesus Christ has so much more substance to it. It is so much more inclusive. He doesn't just utter a few carefully chosen words, hand you a glossy pamphlet, an 8x10 photo, and send you on your way with an autograph and best wishes for a prosperous future. No, Jesus is much more hands-on than that. As we just heard, he says to his first disciples, and frankly to us here 2,000 years later, come, follow me. But it's not just a mere invitation. It's got authority behind it. And while Christ was inviting us to follow, that doesn't mean he simply wants us to tag along. You know how it is with a little brother or a little sister tagging along with his older sibling, just kind of grabbing on to the coattails, if you will. But Jesus doesn't want us to be little brothers and sisters. He wants us to believe, but not just from a distance. He's inviting us to come close, to join him, and to help him in his mission. He wants you and I to be vitally engaged with him in both learning and the doing of his gospel. An invitation from Jesus is a personal invitation. Now, I don't want to disparage today's technology, and I'm sure there's a place for some of the things that I'll mention here, but we, in my opinion, can't expect people to come to Christ by streaming a service online or by watching YouTube video. We must speak the gospel one-on-one to our neighbors. We have to get out of our comfort zone, get out of our pews, get out of our churches, and meet our neighbors on the road that they're walking. Jesus challenges us, each and every one of us, to get dusty. Now, in the time of Christ, one of the biggest privileges of a follower was to be able to walk close enough to Christ, to be kind of on his hip, if you will, walk close enough to a teaching rabbi that you would get covered by the dust that they kicked up as they walked. A dusty follower was a close follower. And I wonder, not really knowing a lot individually about the members of the congregation here, but I wonder if this congregation or you individually are covered by the dust of Jesus. Or do we hang back just a little bit? Close enough to be recognized as a follower, but not close enough to get dusty from Jesus. Come, follow me, says Jesus. Come, get dusty. He's inviting those who are comfortable with their lives to follow him. Those who are comfortable with their families. Those who are comfortable with their jobs. Those who are comfortable with their churches. Our passage goes on to say, as it was read this morning, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The time has come, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. In essence, Jesus was repeating, if you will, reiterating to the crowd what John the Baptist had been telling them already. And he was reiterating, Jesus was, that what John the Baptist had said was accurate and a true reflection of the coming ministry of Christ. Jesus was also saying that no amount of human interference, such as putting John the Baptist in a dark and dreary dungeon, would silence the gospel from being proclaimed exactly where and when God had already ordained it to be heard. I read a piece from a commentator, Matthew Henry, who said that our Lord assures us when part of the divine equation is silenced, like John the Baptist being put in prison, God will raise up another, many times even stronger than the first voice, to fill that void. As we continue this morning, Jesus calls his first disciples to service. He says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Simon and Andrew, and then James and John, do exactly that. They follow. They drop everything and follow Christ. And the question that I know I had, and I'm sure many of you have as well, is why? What made these men who were, you know, had a skill, went to work every day, what made them walk away from what they knew? What made them turn their lives upside down to follow someone they really knew very little about? Jesus didn't offer them any riches or any rewards or really anything tangible at all. He didn't tell them where they were going or what they might expect when they got to wherever they were going. Andrew Kuybenhoven writes that the one who follows Jesus is convinced, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that Christ is the way, the only way. Kuybenhoven concludes that they cannot afford to disobey the call. But in our corner of the world, a relatively calm and affluent portion of the world, how easy is it for us to give up our comforts and heed the command to follow Jesus? Are we willing, without question, to put our shoulder to the wheel and become hands-on disciples of Christ? Or are we a bit more like Jonah, who needed to go for an unscheduled swim and become an entree for a fish before he realized what was going on? Would we, like Abraham, leave everything and move to a new city, a new province, a new country, and trust that God is in control and that he will make everything come to be as his will is? Or are we like those in Luke 9 who are willing to follow but first wanted a little time to get their affairs in order? We can't say that we'll follow, but there is no but. There's no strings attached. We can't say we'll follow as long as we get that promotion, or we'll follow once we graduate from college, or we'll follow once we sock away enough money for a comfortable retirement. The invitation from Christ is straightforward. Come. Follow me. Period. Nothing more, nothing less. No bargaining, no strings attached. It has been suggested that the four disciples left their nets and their fathers respectively because work and family represent the two largest worldly hindrances to our walk with Jesus. Now, I wouldn't suggest that we need to quit our jobs and ignore our families to become quote-unquote real followers of Jesus Christ. But if either one of those obstruct the time we spend in prayer, obstruct the time we spend studying the Word, then we have to re-examine our priorities and rearrange those priorities if it becomes necessary. Family and work are gifts from God. But the greatest gift from God is his Son, Jesus Christ. And he must not play second fiddle to anything or anyone in our lives. Like Jonah discovered when he was knee-deep in things, we don't have an option when it comes to what God wants us to do. It might mean a change in what we do for a living. Like it did for Simon and Andrew and James and John. It might mean a change of address or a leaner lifestyle. But let's not conclude that everyone who is called by God will be a great soul winner. A Toronto-born theologian and pastor Henry Allen Ironside says, Many will be called to humble service, right where they are, right in this church, perhaps called to a prayer ministry, or teaching gems or cadets, or serving on council, visiting those in the hospital, visiting those who are shut in. God might use day-to-day opportunities to share our faith with those living in darkness. Lord, what can I do for you today? That should be our daily prayer. Lord, what can I do for you today? But we can't just pray that prayer and then allow whatever answer to be buried under the avalanche of busyness in our lives. We have to take time to discern and to hear the word of God. Jesus made that time, and we have to make that time too. As a job posting might say, no experience necessary will train. You don't need any specialized training or degree. The kingdom of God is not dependent upon such things. The cause of Christ advances not by means or not by might or power, but by the Holy Spirit, according to the Lord. Moses, Gideon, Elisha, and the fishermen, they were all doing ordinary work when they were called by God. My friends, it's easy to become satisfied with the status quo and to structure our lives in such a way that our daily activities become predictable. And in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with being comfortable with your job or your home or your finances. But when we become comfortable with our walk and our witness to the lost and dying world, then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to take action. Professor Scott Jose at the Calvin Theological Seminary wrote the following. He says, the message we have to proclaim today is the same as it's always been. The message we have to proclaim today is the same that it's always been. The kingdom of God is at hand. Don't be easily satisfied with the temporary pleasures of this world. Money, power, food, the wonders of technology. The kingdom of God is at hand. We know that that's true. And one of our jobs is to help others believe that it's true as well. The invitation from Jesus is easily understood. He says, come, follow me. Get close. Get dusty. And our only response should be yes and amen. Allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, you call us to follow you. You call us to be your disciples, to get dusty, and to make disciples of others, to be ambassadors of Christ, to share your reconciling love with our neighbors, to be instruments of your righteousness. Lord, you call us to follow you, to be your disciples, your students, your friends. Strengthen us in our calling. Help us to be disciplined in our daily practice of devotion and prayer and meditation. Draw us closer to you, and draw us closer to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we may know better your will and experience the fullness of your grace. Help us now when we see those who walk in darkness in this world. Help us to know what to do and what to say and how to say it. Help us to see for you, to speak for you, and to act for you. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen.